From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Chloe, August 15th. Quick run through 10 health stories. Let's start with the longevity piece. Let's get into it. First, from Dr. Approved. Can cannabis help a child with autism? Hugh, my 10-year-old son is autistic and struggles mostly with irritability, meltdowns, and sleep. I've read some very positive things about CBD, but our pediatrician says the evidence just isn't there yet. Has the research gotten good enough that this is something we should seriously consider? A. I think it is reasonable to consider, but I would start by narrowing the question. Next. Second, from Stat. Stat Plus. Newsom promotes affordable insulin, but California's generic label is off to a slow start. California's new CalRx label, which lets pharmacies sell generic long-acting insulin at a cap $35 price, is still a slow rollout. Program launched by Gov. Newsom to make insulin more affordable currently has only a handful of pharmacies stocking the pens, and early data show uptake far below the state's target. Pharmacists like Margaret Ahn in San Francisco's Japantown are keeping a few boxes on hand for uninsured patients or emergencies, but most pharmacies haven't yet ordered the product. Supply chain delays and limited awareness among prescribers appear to be the main bottlenecks. If the rollout accelerates, the price cap could shave tens of dollars off each prescription, but for now the impact on overall insulin costs remains modest. Up next, third from Stat, Stat Plus. As young people increasingly get cancer, new fertility options are changing their futures. A study from Dana-Farber shows that young cancer patients can pause adjuvant hormone therapy to pursue fertility preservation without compromising their treatment plan. In Jenilee Crowley's case, a 38-year-old with stage I breast cancer, doctors coordinated a double mastectomy, a brief treatment break, and embryo freezing, then resumed therapy. This approach, based on a single-center protocol, suggests that a short, medically supervised interruption can be safe for patients whose cancers are low-risk and hormone-responsive. It isn't a universal guarantee, but it offers a concrete option for those hoping to start families after a cancer diagnosis. And then, fourth from Stat, opinion, how to disrupt the health misinformation business model. Oxford researchers looked at electronic health records from over 1 million adults, comparing those who were prescribed statins with similar patients who weren't. It's a retrospective cohort study, so it can show patterns but not prove causation. They found that the rate of diagnosed muscle disorders was essentially the same in both groups, and any excess risk was tiny, well under one case per 1,000 people per year. The analysis adjusted for age, sex, comorbidities, and other medications that can affect muscles, which strengthens the confidence that the result isn't just a fluke of who's taking the drugs. Still, because the data come from routine care rather than a controlled trial, we can't rule out subtle effects that the records might miss. Those numbers matter because online posts often claim statins ruin your muscles and cite anecdotal stories. This study suggests the real world risk is minimal, so the fear mongering is out of proportion to the evidence. In short, the best current data say statins aren't a major driver of muscle problems, and the hype you see online is more about sensationalism than solid science. Next, fifth from Stat, opinion, I've seen what life is like without vaccines. Americans need to understand what they save us from. The writer is a clinician who has spent years treating infectious diseases in low-resource settings. In Haiti, they witnessed a patient die from tetanus, the body locked in painful spasms until breathing stopped. Seeing that death caused, up next, sixth from Stat, Stat Plus, what Medicare incentives for eye-based devices mean for tech companies and hospitals. Hospitals are looking at eye not just for clinical help but for the bottom line. Medicare now offers extra payments for new eye devices for 2 to 3 years after they're cleared, acting as a short-term safety net. Those add-on funds are meant to ease the upfront cost of pricey tech, so hospitals can try a product without having to prove every ROI assumption right away. That makes it easier for eye startups to get a foot in the door. Because the incentive is temporary, companies are motivated to show real cost savings quickly, while hospitals weigh the short-term boost against long-term value. And then, seventh from Stat, Stat Plus, what patients actually think about minimally invasive brain implants. So I was reading about these new brain implants that are supposed to be minimally invasive. The thing is, that term is actually pretty vague and can be misleading. It's not entirely clear what it means. Is it talking about the physical invasiveness of the procedure or something else? A professor at the University of Pennsylvania pointed out that the term is fuzzy and problematic, and it's being used by a lot of neurotechnology startups to make their devices sound better than they might actually be. These startups, like Synchron and Precision Neuroscience, use the term to differentiate themselves from others, but it's not a very precise way to describe what they're doing. And sometimes journalists even repeat this language without questioning it. It's worth noting that just because a company says its device is minimally invasive, it doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. We need to be careful about how we're using language here, especially when it comes to medical procedures. It's also interesting that this term is being used to market these devices, rather than focusing on the actual benefits and risks. I think it's always important to look beyond the marketing language and try to understand what's really going on. In any case, it's something to keep in mind when we're hearing about these new brain implants. What does minimally invasive really mean? And are we getting the full picture? Next, 8th from JWBY, 1-1-196 failure reps. I've been thinking about how the mess-ups that come with DAI can actually be useful. Every time I try to hang a towel bar and end up making 3 trips to the hardware store, I'm not just wasting time, I'm building a mental checklist. The wrong tool, the wrong bolt size, the need to measure drywall depth, each hiccup sticks in memory, so the next project goes smoother. I'm a dad of 3, and I'd rather my kids learn to fix things themselves than always call a handyman. That's why I'm treating each stumble as a rip in a workout for my handyman muscles, not as a failure to be avoided. Seeing the process as cumulative makes the frustration feel purposeful. The more I fumble, the more concrete the lessons become, and eventually the skill set grows without having to hire someone else. Up next, 9th from Tell Me 3 Good Things, 12 August 2020, 6 till the 3 Good Things. I'm glad you're feeling better after that walk with Anna. It's great that you were able to get some exercise. Lucy's cooking skills are definitely something to be grateful for, and it's awesome that you're enjoying Ted Lasso again. in. The show's pacing is really well suited to a weekly watch. Now, let's talk about your good things. What's been going well for you lately? And then, 10th from the macaws community by mastcell360. Practitioner tip. Histamines 4 jobs, P2, H2 receptors, heart function, digestion, and metabolism. Sure, here's the quick rundown. H2 receptors are one of the 4 spots histamine can latch onto, and they're most abundant in the stomach lining, with smaller clusters in the heart, some immune cells, blood vessels, and a few brain areas. When histamine hits an H2 receptor, it ramps up stomach acid production and also nudges heart cells to relax, using the same signaling pathway that depends on magnesium. That same pathway links to appetite and metabolism, so shifts in histamine activity can subtly affect how hungry you feel and how your body handles weight. Supporting gut health and keeping magnesium balanced are practical ways to keep the H2 system from getting overactive. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. That's your brief. Find every story and claim your own free feed at storyflow.com.